I'm a psychic, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do it the Amy Scott Grant way. It's the state of the universe, the state of the universe. Amy Talks!
Hey, this is Amy Scott Grant. Welcome to another installment of Amy Talks, the weekly podcast from me, the spiritual ass kicker. And this week, our topic is all about working with cards. Wonder why I would be talking about that now. Well, maybe we'll get to that a little later or maybe next week entirely. But I wanted to talk to you because this is something that comes up a lot. And man, there's so many spiritual decks out there, right? There's so many different types of oracle cards that surely if you don't own a deck, and we can talk about that next week, but if you don't own a deck, then you might want to get one because they're so cool and you could do so much stuff with them. So what are spiritual decks or also called oracle cards? What are they? What can they do for you? And how do you really maximize your use of them? Well, it's a deck, like a deck of cards. You've probably at least heard of tarot cards before, right? T-A-R-O-T. Perhaps the most famous deck in terms of appearance is the Rider-Waite deck, right? It has like a lot of bright yellow and stuff and hand drawings. But there are millions of decks. There's fairy decks and dragon decks. And Louise Hay has positive affirmation for success and for health decks. And there's decks for relationships. There's decks for moon cycles. There's decks for nature. I don't know, just probably about anything you could think of, there's a deck for, right? And what these decks can do for you is they can help you to, they can help you to forecast. They can help you to check in around the energy around something. They can help you to know what is the best decision to make. Like if you've ever been to a, quote, fortune teller or a card reader, there's all sorts of things they can tell you. You can ask a question and they can use the cards to get an answer. And oracle decks, spiritual cards, spiritual decks, whatever you want to call them, you know, they're built kind of like playing cards. They're all different sizes. Some are nice and small and comfortable in your hand, like playing cards. Others are like the deck that I've been using for a couple years now is like big and awkward and hard to shuffle. You know, tarot cards are often long and slender. They're about as wide as a poker card, but longer, right? So they come in all shapes and sizes, but it's just another tool, right? It's a tool like a pendulum, like muscle testing, like crystal ball, like crystal gemstones, like the I Ching, like astrology charts. You know, they're another tool that you can use to help you to get information, right? And contrary to what you might think, some of the best psychics rely on tools to be able to help them get information in a quick and efficient manner. I didn't use tools for a very long time. And I will tell you, over the years, not only has my intuition gotten like hyper efficient in terms of, you know, if like to do a 1 hour session with me, it's not like we're gonna do one reading and get one thing cleared, right? No, usually we can get like half a dozen, if not more, just depending on what's going on and how ready you are and what layers need to come off, right? But that's because practice has certainly made me much more efficient over the years, but so has the use of tools, right? Because as I'm in a session with you, I'm thinking, let's pull the cards, let's use the weaver, let me grab my pendulum, whatever, you know, we're going to use crystals for this healing, we're going to use the singing bowl, whatever. Things are speaking to me, calling out to me in terms of saying, hey, I want to participate, or hey, I could expedite this healing or this reading or this receipt of information, right? So the word oracle is, like, if you look up the definition of an oracle. It's a priest or priestess acting as a medium through whom advice or prophecy was sought from the gods in classical antiquity. Right? So the oracle, and perhaps the most visual, or the best visual I can give you of an oracle is if you've seen the movie The Matrix, right? Neo goes to visit the oracle, and she's this adorably sweet black lady who's like smoking and baking cookies, right? And her kitchen is all like 1970s, and it's hilarious, right? Because if you think the oracle, you probably the first time you saw that movie and you heard he was going to see the oracle, you probably thought there were going to be some, you know, sort of like Aurora Borealis type lights radiating from her head, or that she would sit down in a dark room with a single candle and a flowing drape put over a round table with a crystal ball in the center. And she was going to have a lot of jewelry and flowing robes and put her hands around the crystal ball. And she's very grounded and earthly, which is hilarious if you suffered through, I mean, watched The Matrix 2 and 3, because you find out that the Oracle is actually, spoiler alert, computer program. So, but anyway, so an Oracle is one who basically gives advice or guidance or prophecy, right? Or who does, you know, I don't really like the phrase, the expression prediction, because I feel like personally, I feel like predictions are not reliable in terms of information, because so much can change, you know, about the butterfly effect. One little thing can create this whole massive after effect. And so what's true right now might not be true 5 minutes from now when you're talking about predicting in the future. I find it's best with truth testing methods to focus on what you can control in the now. Not am I going to get the job, but all things considered, is it optimal for me to go on this interview? Is it optimal for me to submit my resume? Is it optimal for me to call them and follow up because I haven't heard anything in 2 weeks, right? It's like these are all things that are within your scope of control right now, and I feel those are the best things to truth test for. However, having said that, as much as I don't believe that predictions are reliable, on the other hand, I am psychic, like bona fide, right? And I sometimes get really clear hits in terms of what is going to happen. I had somebody just email me the other day and they were like, I don't know if you remember, but months ago I asked you about this adoption and the whole thing just unfolded exactly as you said. And I was like, cool. Don't remember that, but awesome, right? Because I'm getting information in the moment. You know, I remember another client telling me it was like 13 months after I told her something would happen. I could see the whole thing playing out in my head. That was a prediction, yes. But to me, there was certainty around it versus when someone asked me, are my boyfriend and I going to stay together? Like, is he the one? Are we going to get married? I would say maybe a third of the time, I have a really clear picture like no or yes. The rest of the time, it's not decided yet. I'm not going to predict it because I would be guessing, because guess what? You and him have not made up your minds yet whether you're going to stay together. So the prediction is uncertain, right? So this is, I prefer the term forecasting because... You think about how often the weatherman's wrong, and yet he gets paid. He's on TV every day forecasting the weather. I actually have a much higher accuracy rate than the weatherman, thank God. Otherwise, why would anybody pay me to do anything if I was as wrong as often as the weatherman? But that's also because I won't give you a forecast if the information's not there. If it's still undecided. I'm going to let you chew on that for a minute. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor and then we'll be right back.
KidCentered.com. Yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time. Calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. Kids meditation, you can't go wrong at kidscentered.com.
All right, welcome back to Amy Talks. Today we're talking about working with cards, and specifically I'm talking about this idea of forecasting. And I was telling you, I don't like predictions because so much can change. But sometimes it's really clear what the outcome's going to be because all the parties have energetically decided and made up their mind. And then it's very unlikely for the energy to change. So when I do a forecast, and if you have ever had a copy of my boom book, 2015, or the forthcoming 2016 boom, then you know in the back of it, I have four full pages where you can use cards to pull and do a prediction. Like you're doing a forecast for the year, right? And that can change. And I give that caveat in the instructions for pulling that forecast. Because if today, right now, let's say it's December, and I'm forecasting for the full upcoming year, I may pull a card for September that looks pretty bleak, right? But guess what? You've got 9 to 10 months between now and then where you could do quite a lot of clearing work. There's things that you could heal. There's things that you can shift just by the choices you're making, the decisions you're making, and also by the growth you're experiencing. You could change that outcome. But, and this reminds me of the part in Matrix when she says, now here's what's really going to bake your noodle later. He knocks over the, she says, she's in the kitchen with Neo. She turns around to tend to the cookies. And she says, and don't worry about the vase. And he says, what vase? And he turns around behind him and knocks the vase over and it breaks. And she just smiles and says, I told you not to worry about it. Then as she puts the cookies on a plate and brings them over, she says, what's really going to bake your noodle later is, would you still have knocked it over if I hadn't said anything? Right? Love it. Love that movie. Just watch the first one though. You can totally skip the second too. The first one's freaking awesome, right? So that's the same kind of thing, right? So let's say you're pulling a forecast. You're using cards to pull a forecast for the next 12 months. And month number 9 looks pretty bleak. So you do a bunch of healing work and shifting work. And then 9 rolls around and ends up being an awesome month. Then the question is, would it have been an awesome month if you hadn't known it was looking to be a bad month anyway and made those changes? This is the pickle about predictions. If you know something's coming, you can change and work around it. Or some people will have anxiety and fear. They'll build an emotional charge around a prediction that's negative or positive. And then that can actually cause them to manifest it. Let's say that month 9 has something really bad happening. Like it's dark. It's like the darkest card in the whole deck comes up for that month. You could be powerful. You could do clearings. You could work on self-growth and acceptance and decide, you know what? I don't know what's coming, but I'm going to be okay because I'm strong and I have resources and I have a spiritual team backing me up. And I'll handle it. It'll be fine. Or you could really get scared and have a lot of fear and negative energy built up, have a lot of charge around that month, and something really, really bad could happen. Then the question would be, was it already going to happen, or did you manifest it because of your anxiety that was building for 9 months around it? That'll bake your noodle, right? So all forecasting, all card pulls, I kind of take them with a grain of salt, unless we're looking at the current energy around a situation in order to see what the most optimal decision is. For example, a lot of people ask me about relationships. So we're going to take another quick break so we can hear from our sponsor. But before we do, I want you to just think for a minute about a relationship that you could really use help with. So have that in your mind. We'll be right back in 30 seconds.
KidCentered.com. Yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time. Calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. For kids, meditation. mission, you can't go wrong at kidscenter.com.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about working with cards. And before the break, I asked you to think of a relationship that you could use some help or some guidance with. So if you'd come to me for a reading, and you can, by the way, just ask me and we can set that up, depending on what I have available time-wise. But if you came to me for a reading about a relationship, I may or may not use cards. But for the purposes of this podcast, since we're talking about working with cards today, let's assume I am working with cards. There are so many different ways that I could do it. You know what? I'm going to do a part two next week and tell you specifics and particulars about how you can best work with cards. But here we're looking at sort of why do and don't, and what are the risks and caveats in working with cards. So let's say you came to me and you say, I want some help with my relationship around my partner. I would say, okay. And maybe you'd give me a little history, or maybe you wouldn't. Some people do. Some people say, you know what, it's just bad right now, and I want to know whether to stay or go. Now, that's a straight up simple answer that I might be inclined to just use a pendulum. All things considered, is it optimal for this person to stay or leave this relationship? Or is it optimal to wait before making that decision? Right? Is now the optimal time to make that decision? But let's say that you wanted a more overview, per se. We could do a card reading and see what comes up. Now, some people have very, very specific ways that they do clearing, that they do readings. And when you buy a deck, it typically comes with some type of book or booklet that has explicit instructions. It may even have different spreads, as they're called, which is how you place the cards and what the cards mean. Like, some people do a 1-year spread, and they will put the cards from 1 to 12 like they're going around a clock face. So 1 o'clock might be January, 2 o'clock is February, etc., right? All the way around till noon is December. That's one way, you know, where the months are, the number of the month is corresponding with a number on a clock. Do you have to do it that way? No, right? There's tons of different spreads you can memorize. And if you're a person who likes to, you know, who has sort of a kind of military type of learning style where I tell you exactly what to do, you do it exactly, and you repeat it until it's memorized, then you'll probably follow what's in the book, right? That's not my personal style. I would rather just play with things and figure it out, right? But I'm also highly intuitive, so I tend to figure out my own way as far as this goes. Or I may watch you do it, and then I may do it that way a couple of times and then see what feels even better to me. And so it doesn't make your way wrong or incorrect. It's just I'm adapting it to what works better for me, because that just works better all around, right? And I highly encourage you to do the same. When you're working with cards, read the instruction booklet and take it all with a grain of salt, right? Because you're probably going to find a way that works even better for you that the author of the cards may not have even thought of, or the author of the cards may be very like, well, I need to teach them the right way to do this. So they may be a little more traditional, whereas you may be a little more open-minded in terms of how you do things. Okay, so the cards, you would ask a question. For me, that always works best. If the person has no question, they just want information about a situation, then you can ask, show me the energy around this relationship. Show me the energy around this job opportunity. Show me the energy around this client. Whatever it is, show me the energy around this house. Let's say you're house hunting. Anything. You can just ask to see the energy around it. And then you pull however many cards feel optimal to you. This is where some people get tripped up, because they want to know, do I pick 3? And a basic reading, you could pick 1 card and interpret that 1 card. And then you could pull additional cards if you need more information. Another basic reading is to have 3 cards in a row, which represent past, present, and future. So you don't have to memorize spreads. It's easy. So before we get too deep into the actual how to use cards, I wanted to set you up with these kind of overview and these things to think about. So join me next week and we'll talk about the particulars about working with cards. Thanks for joining me on Amy Talks, and I'll see you next time.
I'm a sidekick. My name is Amy. You can really